Hi, and welcome to the That's So Glam podcast. I'm Miles Shillingford, and you'll be hearing me with a variety of other people talking about topics and stories which I think are just oh so glam. Hello everybody, welcome back to another episode of That's So Glam. Thank you so much for the continued support for all of the episodes that you have listened to. And honestly, I just can't wait to crack into this episode. It's going to be absolutely amazing. I have two of the most gorgeous women on this episode today. So everybody, please give it up for the wonderful Nina and Morgan. Say hello, girlies.
Just saying hi, I'm Nina. Nina West, not the drag queen, unfortunately, but still just as glam.
I would say I'm not looking very glam right now. I'm just sitting in like a three-day-old sports bra gaming headset, but it's all cute. I'm Morgan. Hi.
Oh my God. Thank you so much for being on today's episode.
Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So today, listeners, we're kind of going to talk about a topic that might be a bit more heavier than previous episodes. We're going to be talking about queer women and how they feel they may be erased from mainstream LGBT communities and society in general. Throughout this episode, we may be making reference to the recent Sarah Everard case. So if this may trigger you, or you might feel a bit uncomfortable or unease during the episode, please feel free to pause. Honestly, you don't have to listen to something that makes you feel uncomfortable. So thank you for the continued support. And yeah, just want to put it out there. Love you lots and stay glam. So moving on and going, delving into the episode, Nina, like starting off with you, what kind of key sort of terms or sort of signposts would you give to listeners that kind of help identify other queer women within the community?
I mean, one of the ones that always cracks me up is cuffed jeans. Anything cuffed, anything rolled, like I will make, doesn't matter how short they are, I will cuff my trousers so that people know I'm queer. Dyed hair, oat milk for some reason, weirdly, like oat milk iced lattes is like such a big signifier. I see somebody ordering that at Costa and I'm like...
Or just any milk in general that isn't normal cow's milk.
Literally, yeah. If, like almond oat, you're queer. Simple as.
Anything out pro.
Also, like weirdly, vegetarian and veganism also seems to be very big on like queer women. So it's just, there's lots of little like, ooh,
I definitely think funky earrings as well. Like you'll have like a set of earrings that's got like frogs. Frogs are a massive thing. But like even things like a little knife or like a hammer, or I made some with mushrooms on them, like random stuff that you wouldn't normally wear on an earring, or like a vodka bottle.
I mean, I actually do have a pair of mushroom earrings, and I've also got like a pair of earrings with the feminist logo on it. I've got pairs of earrings with like so many different like giant snakes and stuff like that. So yeah, earrings, huge.
I've got a weird thing for like funky bags as well. Basically anything that you wouldn't see a straight woman walking with, like just a weird bag or a weird pair of shoes that...
Docs.
Yeah, Doc Martens, 100%. Dyed hair as well. Like, I mean, kind of a vague thing, but like dyed hair, you probably buy.
I've also realized that I'm wearing all of the things we just listed, and I'm also drinking an oat milk like coffee, so really outed myself there.
Literally gold star for you, hun. Gold star. So yeah, like previously we kind of like spoke about frogs and sort of like the whole symbol. I know, frogs, the way I said it, it's quite funny, like just talk about frogs. But like obviously we sort of mentioned it before, but like for the listeners out there who may not know like the sort of symbol of the frog and stuff, can you maybe give some like more light about it and all that glam?
I think it comes a lot from TikTok. I feel like Gen Z is definitely like a huge portion is on TikTok. And I don't know how it's like come about, but there seems to be this huge move towards, obviously the For You page kind of gives you videos that you like and the algorithm and stuff like that. And for some reason, yeah, just frogs have become associated, like weird animals and weird pets have now been associated with like the queer community. So things like snakes, frogs, geckos, I think ducks are a big thing as well, and the fact that I want all of them as pets, I think my For You page really went for you.
I think the other thing as well is like I've always grown up with like, we've always had animals around the house, and my mum used to have a horse, but I decided to pick as my favorite animal a fox of all things.
Oh.
Literally don't know why, but I grew up with like a fox as my favorite animal, to the point where I bought myself some realistic looking foxes.
You went from horse girl to fox girl. Jesus Christ.
Literally, that is character development right there.
Right there.
Oh, cool. Like, so, like you said, it kind of revolves around TikTok and sort of social media and stuff like that. So then, like, leading into that, obviously, well, for kind of, I'd say it is kind of targeted towards, like, gay men in particular. We sort of got this whole subculture emerging from, like the Hun culture. So we've got, like, sort of, like, soap operas, sort of female icons on, like, daytime TV and Big Brother and things like that. That's sort of, like, key signifiers for our sort of Hun culture, sort of very female empowerment, things like that. So just throwing it out there in terms of, like, a question for, like, the both of you, like, how come do you think that maybe doesn't translate very much into how queer women are represented, even though it is, like, women being represented?
I think because it's targeted. The difference is, as well, is it's, like, how it is very much targeted at gay men and not gay women. Like, it's things that gay men find funny that gay women don't, because that's literally life.
Yeah.
I think. And it's like all of these attitudes, I'm trying to think of like an example, but Gemma Collins, mm-hmm. very much like a girl on a night out, but she's just like it constantly. So it's kind of like, to us, I love Gemma Collins, but also it's very much a gay man thing, I think, because they don't live like that. This is probably me stereotyping massively, but yeah, otherwise I have no explanation.
I also think one of the things that I've noticed, because I was brought up with a gay brother and brought up into very kind of like gay male culture. And what I find really interesting, and I don't have a full explanation for it, is the way women are used as prop a lot of the time to kind of like, so with Gemma Collins and like Hun culture and stuff like that, again, do love Gemma, do love a bit of JC. But the other thing as well is the fact that a lot of gay men, when talking to each other, be like, oh, Miss Girl, Miss Thing, you know, bitch, and all this different kind of stuff, which are very female orientated terms.
Yeah.
And I find like we don't, like queer women don't tend to do that as much, in a sense of like, or even in the reverse, I don't use sort of like quote unquote male terminology when referring to my queer friend. So I just find it so, and also like drag culture as well, like it's literally dressing up as like huge archetypes of these like amazing women. There's some incredible drag stuff.
I can't remember what I was gonna say, but it was just like, why is drag culture such a male thing?
See, that's a good question. Like personally, I think it's because it's more to do with like, it's because I feel like, especially with gay men, they look up to women so much in terms of like being very much very matriarchal and motherly sort of figure. So I think because drag culture accentuates that and exacerbates that to like the absolute extreme, mm-hmm. I think that's my opinion on why gay men sort of feel really comfortable, that is attractive for them in terms of like entertainment as such, because it is just so to the extreme of that, like it's a safety sort of net, because it's like a female very much energy in terms of like appearance and looks and mannerisms and stuff. It's like a safety blanket sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I think that's obviously, I'm not a psychology expert or anything like that. Like I'm not, literally as far as science goes, I've got a triple F and I use WebMD. Like I have no idea what I'm talking about when it comes to brains and stuff, but like that's what my thought process would be. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Like saying that, I think it's when you said about kind of safety blanket, it's a move away from toxic masculinity, which I feel a lot of gay men are forced to bring, like, you know, brought up to have to like very stereotypical manly things like football and all this like absolute shit of like gender binaries and stuff like that, where, you know, and then moving kind of drag culture is a move away from that toxic masculinity, is moving away from that kind of like idealized what a good man should do, like mm-hmm. what is what a man can and can't do. So in that aspect I can kind of see why women are held so highly in kind of gay man culture.
I never thought about it that way, but that kind of makes sense. Yeah. Sounds very righteous of me, but
yeah. We are the best is basically what I'm saying. We are the best.
Yeah, that's like sort of like circling around to like Hun culture and stuff again. How comes you feel like there's not such a comparison for queer women? Like, why is there no sort of queer sort of Hun culture, but for queer women?
I've thought about this so much, and the only thing that I can put down to being like, and we were literally talking about this just before the podcast, but I literally think it's murder mystery stuff. I've not met a queer woman that does not love murder mystery, but that's literally the only culture I think that we have. I can't think of anything else.
I think also, like, without getting too political, I think in anything male dominates it, so like male culture will dominate it. And I think that it's so interesting that even though, you know, there is so much gay culture around women, it's very exclusionary to queer women. Because, like, I know so much, and like I've said this before in socials and stuff, I know so much about gay man culture. Like, I can tell you all about different music, bands, like icons, all this different type of thing. And yet very few gay men know kind of queer women, even just like queer, like famous queer women or famous people who are like are queer women. It's almost kind of like, oh, well, there's, you know, that lesbian on so-and-so. And it's like, there are so many more women out there.
Even I can't think of that. Even I sit here and I'm like, I can't think of very many.
Really?
And I am a woman.
Because it always seems like, yeah, it always seems like a secondary thought. Oh, okay, you know, we've got like this sort of realm of culture. Yeah, I mean, probably toss in like a few like lesbians and things like that, just to like, you know, make it inclusive. I'm using air quotes, listeners. Like, you know, so it's just, I don't know. And that's why I thought it was really important to sort of get this episode out, because without it being like, obviously for this show, like in general, like everyone knows I kind of want it to be like entertainment, really lighthearted, but also as well, I kind of want it to be educational, like people just to like listen and basically be like, here you go, like, you know, the people out there who need their voices heard. So 100%, like, that's, and like you said, Nina, like, not, it's not even political, because it is the truth. It's like everything's very much circled and dominated around what attracts men, because that's what makes the world go round, apparently. So, you know what I mean? So
I think I've just thought of another thing that is like such queer women culture is queer female artists. And it sounds bizarre, but like, especially on TikTok, it's like, oh, do you listen to Girl in Red?
Yeah. Yes, that's such a signifier. And then the backup with that is like, do you listen? It's like a whole code that I love. I think it's so interesting. It's like, do you listen to Girl in Red? No, I listen to Sweater Weather. So immediately when I hear that, it's like, oh, are you gay? And it's like, no, I'm bi. That's the translation of it. So like, I just find that so interesting. Yeah, like queer icons and stuff like that. Oh, ancient Greeks as well. The ancient Greeks, for some reason, I mean, I literally like, I have ancient Greek busts on my window. Like, I'm currently showing one of them. But for some reason, that is so queer woman culture.
It's mythology in general. When I was like a little kid, I was so obsessed with it. And everybody in my family is like a present. I would always get like an inch and a half thick mythology anthology, or like just books on Greek mythology. And my nan always used to take me up to the museums and be like, let's go look at the Greek things. And I would always go, where's the Pegasus? Like,
interesting,
yeah.
Though, like, even for me, like, now, like, even I've learned, like, I've never heard of that. And that's what kind of goes back to, like, why haven't I not known that? You know, like, it's interesting. It's really interesting. And it's something that I need to look into, because everybody, like I always say, like, actually, non-spawn, but I actually bought a Kindle the other day. Oh my God, changed my life. I'm literally on my phone so much less. So good for mental health and everything. Recommend, 100%. Jeff Bezos, drop me my paycheck.
I really want to get a Kindle. I really want to get a Kindle.
I love Kindles so much, because also the classics are pretty much always free or super cheap. They're amazing. Like Shakespeare, free.
Literally.
Free.
Can't get better than that, love.
Honestly, what a bargain. What a bargain. So, like, moving into sort of like next sort of topic I kind of want to speak about today, how gay men and sort of queer men sort of, when they experience culture, they find out what sort of, they explore what they're trying to find within themselves. So like they feel, they seek, like we said before, like women, because they find women like very, like as a safety sort of net, and like it feels very comfortable and with makeup or even with sports and stuff, because with some queer sports, it's such like a community and you've gathered in the space in which you feel safe. Whereas if women try and experience or sort of navigate through like queer culture, it's like signposts or sort of signifiers in which they find things what they find worse within themselves. So like, oh, okay, I don't feel right in this way, so I might have to find someone else who feels that way as well, so therefore we can create a community.
No, I was just gonna say, I mean, maybe it doesn't answer the question, but like, since sort of like finding myself, kind of coming out around secondary school, it has always kind of like, we've always said gay groups just merge together naturally. You don't normally how does it happen?
How does it happen?
How do you find these people?
How?
And I was in, Nina and I were both in two separate but all girls schools, and we all managed to find the queer people in that entire year and merge together.
Yep.
And
yep.
Part of me is kind of like, is that because you are all the depressed group and you all kind of group together and that's naturally just what happens? Or is it something else? I don't know. But that kind of, I think, latches onto that negativity because you're all so sad all the time that you just latch onto each other because it's like, well, I'm missing something but they have it, so they fill that void in me. Also metal music.
That's it, just add it on top.
Wait, that was such a like, and metal music, add it on top. I think with that it's the sense of other that I think people unconsciously feel from a very young age. The second that you start realizing that you're queer, like I definitely had an inclination when I was about 4 or 5. All right, I say this all the time, but Pirates of the Caribbean did something to me. I don't know what happened, but like Keira Knightley dresses a pirate. Oh my god, pirates, that's another thing. Why there's literally a whole subsection on TikTok called Pirates, and it's bisexual pirates who just like, and I love every single one of them. I think like for a good week, all Morgan and I did was just send each other TikToks of beautiful women dressed as pirates. It's a great week. But yeah, it seems to be that like sense of other that you unconsciously feel that immediately attracts a, like, without sounding like, you know, one of them badly written teen films, but it's like the outcasts and stuff, the social kind of rejects. Because like, I never really fit into... I sound like sort of wanker, but I never really fit into that kind of, like, as I was growing up, the kind of like pretty sports girl, like the one that all the like the popular girl type thing. So you kind of, yeah, so you kind of then start grouping with other people, and then I think a big thing is that realizing that you're all really fucking queer.
Because that didn't really happen for my group until I want to say like end of year 9, early year 10, so like really late on. And then I moved to another group because I was getting bullied by that friendship group. But yeah, gay women are the biggest bitches.
They can be. Why is it? I think it's that like internal, I think again it comes back to internalized misogyny. So like, and then you would throw in internalized homophobia and like you're just an arsehole.
I mean, it's the same with gay men as well though. They could be absolute pricks, you know what I mean? Absolutely.
There are assholes everywhere.
Especially on social media as well, like 100%. Like mainly on Twitter. Yeah, I'm calling you out, Twitter gays, literally. Like people can be like, oh, you know, I'm really happy, I don't know, like I've got a promotion or something. And someone will be like, yeah, but you didn't really deserve it. And I'm like, what, why are you bitter? Like, why are you bitter? I don't get it.
That's so rude.
Just be happy. If you don't want to see it, scroll past it, you know what I mean?
Literally.
But
there's so many things on Twitter that I just think this makes me so angry, and I just scroll past it because I'm like, I am not involving myself in a Twitter rant today.
It's always, for me, it's Instagram comments. Like, I follow so many, like, beautiful feminist pages, queer feminist pages, and, like, it will be something as dumb as there'll be a woman with a hairy armpit, and then all of a sudden these trolls are like, she's disgusting, it's like that.
Why are you on that page?
Why are you on that page? You would have had to actively seek out that page to then be like, don't like it. Don't go on it then.
It rages me. It rages me. I mean, I guess that's something we've got in common, isn't it?
Yeah.
Women came in. People are just arseholes.
People are just arseholes.
Oh, but yeah, that's really interesting. Good little learning objective from that section. So I think as well, maybe because I have sort of, not to make myself sound arrogant at all, I don't want it to become across this way, but I think because I have like read up on it and sort of like understood how women feel in terms of like public spaces as well, and how just in general, like how women feel in terms of safety and stuff. When I see stuff like that, I want to say something, but I know because of how I present myself as well, I could be an easy target as well. Which is a mindset I need to snap myself out of, because I'm like, at the end of the day, if it was the other way around, I can say probably 90% sure that a woman would come and protect me. So why am I not doing it for them?
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I need to sort of work on within myself, I think.
I would say it's been especially prevalent with like Sarah's case as well, with the whole like not all men thing. And it makes me so angry because so many people in my family hate that phrase. But I think we were saying the other night with not all sharks are going to bite you, but like, would you really want to be in an enclosed tank with a shark at like near their feeding time? It's like, just because you are a man, let alone, or even just a dark figure on a dark road in the middle of the wrong time of night, that's still a threat. Even down to like, if I saw someone, it could be a woman with like a hood up and you can't really see their face and they're walking at the same time as me at night, I would not want to be in that scenario.
I mean, literally the other day, I think like a couple of days ago, I went for a walk and it got dark really quickly. I was not expecting it to get as dark as it did. I was actually listening to this podcast, not this one, but I was listening to this podcast. And then all of a sudden it got dark and I realized that I wasn't on a very well lit area. And I then started panicking. I had to pause the podcast so that I could hear everything to like make sure that, you know, all my senses were there. I was checking behind, like constantly looking behind my back. The second I heard noise, I'd stop, look around, see what was there. And it's the classic, like, I don't realize how much I know many other female presenting and women do this, like the steps you take without even realizing that you're taking them. So for instance, if I know that I'm going out and I might not be with anybody, I'll make sure I'm wearing comfortable flat shoes because that way I can run quicker. If I've always got something like my keys will be in my hand so that, you know, if anything comes along, like quick little like jab or whatever, you know, all these different things, like not having my headphones in if it's dark, trying not to go out in the dark full stop, which is, you know, kind of shit when it gets to winter and it's like 5 o'clock, it's already pitch black.
Got curfew.
Yeah.
Which is what makes me so mad about all these men that like, oh, it's past 6 p.m. I can't go out, like I've got a curfew. A, that's not true, but B, that kind of does exist for women, because although it's not, it's an unwritten rule, you don't go out on your own in the dark unless you've got someone with you. It's a death threat basically. And it's even stuff like on my keys, I've got a little Swiss Army knife, so I know worst comes to worst, I've got a little stabby stabby object, and and I've got my location permanently shared with like my family and with Nat and stuff, so I know that if I went missing, I could be tracked down to a certain location or within a certain vicinity. Why the hell do I have to have that? Why do I have to, that's what makes me angry about men joking about like, oh, I have a curfew, because I kind of do anyway.
Every time I get into an Uber, I share my Uber with my mum. Even if I feel uncomfortable, like the amount of times I'll call somebody just on a walk, just to make sure that like, if anything goes wrong, I've taken pictures when I've been out on a walk and made sure that they've been uploaded onto like my cloud drive, whatever. So that, because I felt threatened, I felt worried and panicked. Well, at least now they've got a picture of who it could have been. Like that type of stuff. It's so ingrained within women and female presenting people from such a young age that it becomes second nature. And it becomes so like just normal to do it until you realize actually why am I, you know, protecting myself against the threat every single time I go out the door. There is also like, my mum is also incredibly feminist and very kind of like, whoa, women, yeah. And it's really funny, whenever I used to go out clubbing, obviously I'd be wearing like a skimpy outfit or whatever, because you know, I'm having a good time. And the inner turmoil that my mum would go through, where she was like, okay, she looks great, she should be able to wear whatever she wants. But some people might consider that as an invitation. She needs to wear a coat, but no, I should tell her what she can't wear. And then she just like, this back and forth rage until she's like, wear a coat until you get to the club, then I'll be fine. I was like, all right, cool. Thanks, mum.
With parents as well, like my dad, when I first went to uni, literally on the drive to dropping me off to my accommodation, he was like, don't ever get in an Uber. And I was like, okay, what do you mean don't get in? He was like, don't ever get in an Uber. Even if you're with a group, they're not safe. Don't get in an Uber with like a group of girls. And I was like, okay. Obviously, I had to get in an Uber. Like the next night we went out clubbing and I got in an Uber. But I shared the number plate with him. And I was like, this is the number plate of the car I've got in. And even now, they obviously used to police my clothing when I was a little bit younger, because you're looking after your kids and it's in their best interest. But even now I'll say to my mum, I'm like, oh, I'm going to wear this or whatever. And she's like, that's a bit skimpy. And I'm like, well, yeah, but I know. But my dad literally has to sit there and he goes, I don't like what you're wearing, but you are an adult. You are 21 years old. You can make that decision yourself. But I do want you to know I don't approve. And I'm like, okay, great.
That's the thing, like, even when I was at, like, uni as well, and, like, especially in second and third year, most of my house, I lived with women, so it was always, it's like what you were saying, like, you'd always take the safety precautions, and I always say to, like, the girls in the house, like, honestly, always feel free, if you want to call me, when you want to walk, that's fine, share your location with me, if you need, or if you feel, like, a bit uneasy in town, I'll jump on the metro, and I'll meet you in town, and we'll walk together, like, stuff like that. And it's just like, why, like, obviously I understand my privilege as a man, but why should I shouldn't need to do that. You know what I mean? So it's like going back to this whole conversation, like about all, not all men and everything. Yeah, okay, but at the end of the day, you need to understand that just being male presenting, you are at an advantage. There's no denying that, like 100%. Even if you are a gay male, because you present yourself as a man or male identifying, you're at an advantage, hon. I'm sorry to say, but you can't deny that. And that's what that's one of the key messages I really want to get out today, is that wherever you are on the spectrum in terms of, like, you know, I feel like I shouldn't have to do that, or women shouldn't wear this, whatever, blah, 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 you are privileged. You that's it, you know.
I think it came up in our Women's Day podcast that just because you are underprivileged in one area does not mean you don't have privilege in another.
100%, 100%.
And also this whole kind of, like, not all men, and it's like, yes, but all women.
Mm-hmm.
So I think actually was on the Women's Day podcast, but I don't know a single femme-presenting, woman-identifying person who hasn't experienced some sort of harassment or sexual assault, abuse, whatever. I do not know any woman who hasn't experienced it. And then it becomes that, like, double threat when you're a queer woman. And then if you then put in the fact, like, trans women and women of color and stuff like that, they become more targeted. So it's not, which is, it's such a difficult and, like, you know, thing to say, but it's true. All women have experienced it. And, like, it's good to hear, though, that, you know, you can use your, like, male privilege to go to meet somebody at the bus stop and stuff like that, because that's a good way of using male privilege. Like, you know, do meet your female friends, like, do walk with them, do make sure that they're safe, do make sure that they get home okay and things like that. Like, that's the easiest way of using male privilege.
But I really trust as well. I really trust that my gay friends will look after me. And I've got really, really close, and I love him, if you're listening, Charlie, hi, but, like, really close, well, he's bi, but, like, straight guy that I would trust my life with. But I cannot say that for any other straight guy I know, because even with my brother, I'm like, if I said to him, oh, could you come and get me from the bus stop or whatever, he'd probably be like, no, like, you can walk yourself home. I don't have to come get you. But, like, every gay male I've ever met, or anyone that's queer, would always back me up to the last teeth and nail to make sure I'm safe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get what it is. Why do straight men not do it?
I think it's because, like, it comes down to queer people, regardless of gender, have experienced some sort of threatening or dangerous position because of who they are. You know, I am very aware that lots of gay men are targeted because of, you know, particularly ones that are, like, stereotypically camp and things like that. They are targeted way more than their straight counterparts. So I think, you know, that's why the gay community is really great in that sense of people do protect each other, they do support and help each other, which is, you know, it's a lovely thing to see.
Like, a quote that I've sort of written down here was, like, in terms of, like, queer men and queer women, I can't remember where I got it from, unfortunately, but, like, there's a really good article, and it's like, it says that we're like chalk and cheese, but we're shoved together because of the homophobes in the world. And I'm like, you know what, I couldn't say it any better myself. Like, so obviously there is so much, like, difference in terms of, i.e. like we said before, like, cultural references or mannerisms and stuff like that, but we come together because we've both been through shit. And that's the beauty of it at the end of the day, you know what I mean?
That's so glam, babe.
That is so glam.
It's so upsetting because it's like, you know, women are here, men are here, that's their issue, this is men's issues. But when you put intersectionality in with that, I think now with the whole Sarah's case, we're sort of understanding that more, that, you know, people within certain minorities, because they share the sort of same struggles, whatever your, like, intersectionality is, you can always uplift one or the other. And it's kind of like a stepladder. Like, you know, I don't know why I'm doing it visually because you can't even fucking see what I'm talking about. But literally, like, someone's, like, up on the right-hand side, like, a bit higher than the left-hand side. The person on the right-hand side has to drag the other person up. And it's always, like, it's like a stepladder. Like,
how Jacob's Ladder works. I don't know if anyone's ever done Jacob's Ladder, but, like, the person at the top has to pull the person below them up.
100%. I think that's one of the key messages, like, to take away from this, listeners, is just that recognise, even though you may be part of a minority or you might be feeling like you're part of a marginalised group, your homework is trying to take away sort of what your advantage may be, whether that you be, like, a white person, or whether you be a man, whether you be straight, whether you be, I don't know, financially, whatever it is, recognize your privilege and see people out there who may be in your friendship circle even, recognize what their sort of struggle is and see how you can support each other. And, you know, just do that. Just everyone, I think everyone can be a bit better in themselves anyway. So
everyone's always got something to work on.
Exactly.
And there's nothing wrong with learning as well. Like, I hate this thing. I don't know if Ben's spoken about it before, but he's very hot on like the whole cancel culture thing. I hate cancel culture so much because it does not give people the opportunity to learn. People are always going to make mistakes, always going to do things wrong. Okay, you do it more than once. Okay, not great. Yeah, that's an active choice.
Yeah.
People are going to do things wrong and you have to give people the opportunity to learn. Otherwise, they won't change. And by hopping on and saying, oh, you've done something really bad, like we're not going to, whatever, we're going to cancel you, blah, blah, blah. I would much rather just someone say to me, okay, maybe that wasn't so great. Maybe improve on it, do blah, blah, blah next time. Think, oh, okay. Yeah, I can learn from it now. And another reason I hate social media, adding to like the 1001 reasons, but cancel culture is so toxic and I hate it.
It's so toxic. The other thing as well, kind of going off the back of that, is that, like, you know, you're talking about Jacob's ladder. I am cis and I am white, which means I do have those kind of benefits and privileges and stuff. But rather than, what really upsets me is when seeing things like the LGBTQ community then divide themselves further by, you know, through being incredibly racist or sexist or kind of like trans exclusionary and things like that. Or, I mean, the most amount of biphobia and like panphobia I ever got was from the queer community. And it seems to be this kind of like, almost because they have a lack of, because the queer community is oppressed, you can, when you can find something that gives you power over somebody else, it seems to get exploited. Yeah, people grab onto it. Like, there is so much racism as well in the queer community. There is so much fat phobia. There is so much like awful things that happen. And it's so sad to see, because like, you know, when we're united, we're stronger. And yet, you know, we're so divided. And that's, yeah, it's so sad to see.
And that's like what we kind of said before, wasn't it? Like, you know, it's the only way we can sort of combat it in terms of like marginalization, separation, is just recognizing other people's struggles and acknowledging them and acting upon them. It's all well and good being like, yeah, I support my like queer brothers and sisters and like individuals and siblings and stuff. But what is the proactive action you're taking to do that? Are you really sort of researching, going on like certain websites such as like UK Black Pride, or going on sort of like queer women media outlets and stuff, and proactively looking and researching like what you're doing? It's like writing an essay, doing a plan, but not even writing the essay. What's the fucking point? You know what I mean? So
I don't know who said this, and I don't know if it came up in the Queer Women's Pod. It might have even been you that said it, Miles, but someone said, unless you have inherently had to unlearn something, why would you? Therefore, like, because you are queer, you've had to actively unlearn homophobia. But if I'm white, I haven't actively had to unlearn racism because I'm white. It's not been forced down my throat sort of thing. So it's on my back to go and actively unlearn it. Which I think a lot of people don't do, and a lot of people don't realise, like, okay, I might not think I'm racist, but because I am white, that literally gives me a privilege of not knowing. Yeah.
You benefit from it, but you, like, being white, you benefit from it. In the same way, being male, you benefit, regardless if you're a queer man, you benefit from the patriarchy. It's not, but that's also, it sounds bad, it's not a bad thing to admit that. It's when you actively say, oh no, but I'm queer, that means that, well, no, you still... You can still, if you're a man, you can still walk down the streets at night and not be scared. Like, you can still, you know, you feel so much more, at least from what I've, like, kind of, when I've been doing my own work and research and stuff, you feel way more connected to people because you feel like you actually have a better grasp. I will never, ever be able to actually understand what it's like to be a person of color, to be transgender. However, I can at least educate myself, learn about it, so then that way I can support like my trans brothers and sisters and, you know, my people of color friends and family and loved ones and stuff like that. So 100%. Yeah,
100%. And yeah, literally, like I said before, and I always say, just read a book and just educate yourself, honestly. Even though the libraries are closed in England obviously because of lockdown, when things are open again, the library is free, surprisingly enough. Go read a book, go on Wikipedia, and maybe some, because, you know, some may be a bit iffy. But honestly, if you, out of anything, if you're sitting in lockdown, whatever, when libraries are reopened, honestly, go there and just, even if it's like a kid's book, you probably will learn a lot from a kid's book nowadays. I know.
Get a Kindle, darling. Get a Kindle.
Literally, ask Bezos to send you one. He's got plenty to wear us, you know what I mean? So, honestly, just be a bit more knowledgeable.
Obviously. Hashtag not spawn.
Not spawn.
Hashtag not spawn. I mean, if you want two really great books, super short, I think they're both under, like, they're not even books, they're like mini essays. One is called Everyone Should Be a Feminist, and I cannot remember the name of the woman that wrote it, but it's really short, it's really good. And also The Trans Feminist Manifesto by E. Koyama, I think that's how you say their name. That's also really great. That's only 20 pages, but it's so detailed and it's just such an easy but interesting read.
Awesome, thank you.
We love a book rack.
Literally. But I think that's pretty much it for today's episode. Like always, is there anything you two kind of wanted to mention today, or any sort of key points that I may have missed out and you want to vocalise to the glam listeners?
Can't think of anything.
Why has my mind gone blank? The only thing that's in my head is like frogs.
Yeah,
they're frogs. That's it. That's all in my head. I think one thing I'd like, maybe give the same love and support to queer artists, mm-hmm. and try and also diversify the stuff that you listen to. Like, there's so many great queer artists that are so under listened to and under hyped because they're women. So go listen to them. They're great. Have a good time.
Spotify will do you wonders.
Spotify. There are so many playlists. One of them is called Femme Fatale. Go on it. It's Spotify made and it's predominantly queer women. And it's amazing. I think it's the Femme Fatale one.
But there's definitely, yeah, queer women, even podcasts and stuff as well.
Literally. Yeah, I mean, thank you so much for being on today's episode and everything. It's been absolutely amazing. As always, I'll drop everything we kind of spoke about today in terms of like organisations and charities and things like that all in this episode notes. So always good to sort of read up on it and just support women, honestly, because without them, you wouldn't even be here. So do better.
Do better.
And as always, what are your socials, Han, so people can go and give you a cheeky follow?
I have two Instagram accounts. I've got one which is my personal, one which is my cosplay account. The cosplay one is at Mimi Cheeks, it's spelled M-I-M-I-C-H-I-I-X. And then my other normal Instagram is Morgan Lanks, which is Morgan and then L-A-N-C-K-S. And then I think there's a kiss on the end, but I'm not sure. So enjoy.
And my Insta is at Nina Westicles, because I couldn't get at Nina West because some bitch took that before me. JK, I love Nina West. I love her so much. But yeah, Nina Westicles.
Honestly, like always, thank you so much for being on today's episode.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
I will speak to you soon.
Bye. Very soon.
Bye. Bye.